10, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 15, and out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Summoning his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Jesus sent out these 12 after giving them instructions. Don't take the road that leads to the Gentiles, and don't enter any Samaritan town. Instead, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Don't acquire gold, silver, or copper for your money belts. Don't take a traveling bag for the road or an extra shirt, sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his food. When you enter any town or village, find out who is worthy and stay there until you leave. Greet a household when you enter it, and if the household is worthy, let your peace be on it. But if it is unworthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone does not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. You may be seated. As we continue in our study in the Gospel of Matthew, last week we were looking at the end of chapter 9, and Jesus had just finished healing two blind men, casting out the demon that caused the man to be unable to speak and hear. And that was an illustration of the blindness spiritually of the people that heard and saw what Jesus was doing, but refused to listen to his message. And then he had a large crowd around him, and he told the disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. There's a lot of people that need to hear, but the workers are few. And an interesting thing, the people that Jesus asked to pray are now the ones he's sending out. A lot of times we are wanting to pray for something but not do anything. Martin Luther, one of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation, he was a Catholic monk who realized salvation is by grace alone and faith alone, and he was proclaiming that message. He had a friend. The friend and Martin Luther said, Martin Luther, you go out and I will stay and pray for you constantly. Martin Luther reported back to his friend from time to time, told him about how difficult the journey was, how much opposition he was facing. One day his friend that was praying in solitude had a dream. He saw one man out trying to give a message to an innumerable crowd. There was only one man speaking. And then he, as he saw closer, he saw that was Martin Luther. He found his friend Martin Luther, and he said, God has revealed to me it's not enough just to pray. I need to be out telling the message also. Jesus had told his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And that's to God the Father. The harvest belongs to God. It's not, this one belongs to the devil, this one belongs to God, and we have two different harvests. No, the harvest all belongs to God. No one belongs to the devil. The devil tries to influence people, But he is not the king of the damned. He is the one that is trying to lead many away into damnation. He's trying to lead many away into hell. But he's not going to be the one in charge of hell. He's just going to be another prisoner. And we come to the passage in chapter 10. And it says, Jesus summons his 12 disciples. Now the Greek word there for disciple means student. 12 of his students he summons. Y'all guys, come over here. Now Jesus has been teaching to a lot of people. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits. Now, he gave the 12 the authority. He hasn't given every Christian authority over unclean spirits. Remember, as we studied in earlier, as we talked about spiritual warfare we're in, that we're to stand our ground. God has given us the spiritual armor, Ephesians chapter 6, to stand. And it tells us in Ephesians 6:13, after you've done everything, to stand. We're to stand, not to cast out. We don't have that authority. That's a sign that was given by Jesus to these 12. They were given the authority over unclean spirits. And notice, Jesus has the authority. He is the one in charge of all the unclean spirits. He is the one that will determine their destiny. Every time Jesus met a demon or unclean spirit, they said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" They recognized the authority of Jesus, that they were still under authority. Even though they tried to rebel, they were still under judgment. Jesus gave the authority, and the authority to heal every disease. And then it says in verse 2, these are the name of the 12 apostles. Notice the word changes. From disciple, meaning student, to apostle, it's a special term, meaning the sent out ones. And here's the names of the 12 sent out ones. Now, there's another list in Mark, another list in Luke, and another list in Acts. Here, the list in Matthew goes, Simon, first, who is also called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, all 12 names are listed, but in a little bit different order in the other Mark and Luke. But they're always listed in groups of four. Peter is always the first one listed. Judas Iscariot is always the last one listed. Simon, Andrew, James, and John are always listed as a group. The second four, Philip is always listed on first, with Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew. And the third group of four, James, the son of Alphaeus, is always listed first. Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas Iscariot. Now, there seems to be three groups of four. The inner circle, the ones Jesus took, like when he goes to the Mount Transfiguration, he took that top four with him. And these are the ones also listed with the same grouping of four in Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And if you want the other list, it's Mark chapter 3, 16 through 19, Luke chapter 6, 14 through 16. We also know a little bit more about these apostles. They were the ones that were going to be setting up to have the authority to lay the groundwork, to set the foundation for the church of Jesus Christ. They are the ones, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, that they were given signs to show They had authority. Jesus performed miracles to show he had the authority to back up the message he was giving. John the Baptizer in chapter 11 is in prison, and he sends his disciples. He's having doubts if Jesus is the one that is to come that he was preparing the way for. So he sends his students to Jesus. John the Baptizer wants to know, are you the one, or is there one following? And Jesus' answer says, watch what I'm doing. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. He's saying, the signs back up, I'm the one. I have the authority. Now, a lot of people will claim to have authority, but will not have anything to back up their authority. The apostles are preaching a message that is different than the Pharisees are preaching. Jesus has been preaching a message different. He preached the same message as John the Baptizer. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 4:17. And now he's giving that message to the disciples, now called apostles. Go out and proclaim this message. In math class, when I'm teaching math, I teach about compound interest. Compound interest, I teach this way. You got 1 month. You got two choices. I can give you $1 million right now, or I give you a penny and double it every day for 30 days. Which would you rather have? And most of the students will go, I'll take the $1 million. And then I show them what happens when you compound. The first day you get one penny. The second day you get two pennies added to that one penny. By the end of 30 days, you have about $20 million. Starting at one penny. Now, if I was going to try alone to go talk to everybody in the world, I couldn't do it. Now, you might say you could go on the internet and do something like that, but I'm not going to get to talk to everybody face to face. Jesus, up to this point, was talking to everyone, just his one person at one place. Now, he might have large crowds at a time, but he wasn't everybody at the same time. We need to go out into all the world to preach the good news. You can't do it just with one person. Martin Luther's friend realized it can't just be Martin Luther alone preaching. It can't just be one person preaching. We are all to be proclaiming the good news. Jesus is showing his disciples we need more people. He's told them already, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. We need more people to go harvest the crop for eternal life. He gave them authority to back up their message. And then he sends them out, but he gives them some guidelines. Don't take the road to the Gentiles. Don't take the road that goes through Samaria. I want you to go just in Israel to the lost sheep in Israel. And Scripture says in Jeremiah 56, Israel is like lost sheep who has gone astray. Remember in our previous chapter, if you look back at chapter 9, look at verse 36 in Matthew. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep don't necessarily head the right direction on their own. They wander all kinds of different directions. They need a shepherd to guide them in the right direction, to find the food, the shelter, the protection, the water that they need. Jesus is saying Israel is like lost sheep. Israel had been chosen by God to be a kingdom of priests, a kingdom to go proclaim the message of God to the entire world. But they weren't doing it. Now, I think football teams, NFL's playing again, baseball teams are playing. Imagine you have been selected, we'll pick baseball, to the Astros team. And all you do is sit on the bench. Coach says, go out, it's your turn to bat, and you just sit on the bench. I'm on the Astros team. No, you are selected to the team to go out and do something. Well, Israel was like that. They said, we're on the team. We're on God's team. Then go out and do what you're called to do. They said, well, we're just special. We're not going to tell the message to anybody else because we're special. We've been chosen. You are chosen to go do something. But all they did was keep the message to themselves. Matter of fact, God called one of them, a guy named Jonah. Jonah, there's a city of real bad people. I need you to go talk to them. Tell them judgment's coming. No, I'm not going. I'm going to go the other direction. So Jonah got on a boat and headed west when God had told him to go northeast. Maybe God can find somebody closer. But God had other plans. God sent a big fish to swallow Jonah and take him back the direction he should have been going. Finally, Jonah goes and preaches in this town called Nineveh. And the people repent. Joseph goes outside the town, sits under this bush. It grows up overnight, dies overnight. It had given them shade. And he's crying that the bush died. And God tells him, why aren't you crying over Nineveh? You cried over this bush. He was more concerned about a bush than he was about the people of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh repented when they heard the message. Now, sometimes I expand on the message a little bit. Imagine you're a fisherman from Nineveh. Up comes this big fish, opens his mouth, and out goes this guy, repent. You know, that's sort of going to get your attention. And if you've been sitting in the stomach of some fish, you're going to sort of be bleached out. Yeah, got a little seaweed hanging up. Yeah. Jonah preaches. They're so convinced, they even have their animals put on sackcloth and ashes. That's a sign of repentance. We're going to make sure we get right with God. And God gives them repentance, delays the judgment on Nineveh because they repented from their sins. Jesus is sending a message to Israel. Repent, Israel. You need to come back and do the job God has called you for. Now, Jesus is not telling the disciples, don't talk to the Samaritans or Gentiles. Just don't go there first. We look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now go everywhere. But first, go to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. Jesus has given his promise through Abraham. Abraham, through your seed, through your descendants, all the earth will be blessed. Jesus came, born of a virgin in Israel, to proclaim the message of good news to all of us. We sang in our hymns many songs talking about the blood. Too often we don't think about the blood is our cure. We often just sing the words of songs and don't think about it. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. If we're sick with a disease, sometimes we go and get a prescription and it helps us be healed of that disease. Well, the disease we have, every single person, is a disease of sin, and it carries an eternity in hell as the penalty. But Jesus, through his blood, gives us forgiveness for that judgment that's coming. Through the blood of Jesus shed for us, we are forgiven of our sins if we will accept his payment of our sin debt. Jesus called the disciples, appointed them as apostles, sent them out, and then he gives them an interesting thing. He said, don't take anything with you except what you got right now. Don't go get an extra walking stick. If you got a walking stick now, you keep it, but don't go get one. Don't go get an extra pair of shoes. Don't go get an extra shirt. Don't go fill your wallet with money. Don't go up to the ATM and pull out everything. Don't go down to the convenience store and load up on groceries. No, take what you got right now and go out. When you go into a town, look for a place that is worthy, and then stay there while you're in that town. If they're worthy, if they're listening to the message, providing for your needs, then give your blessing there. If not, shake the dust off your feet. That means do a sign showing that you won't even hear the message. I'm not even going to let the dust from your house, from your town, stay on my shoes. Now, Saturday is my day for mowing the grass. And when it doesn't rain, there's a lot of dust that gets everywhere. So when I'm done mowing the grass, I go in the shower and wash all that dust off, because I don't want that dust from the yard following me around, being like the Charlie Brown pig pen. You know, when, if you remember the cartoon Charlie Brown pig pen, had this, you couldn't really see pig pen. All you saw was a cloud of dust walking around. Well, a sign at the time of Jesus was, take your sandal, slap them together, knock the dust off your sandals, because you're going to say, I'm not even going to carry the dust of this town with me as I walk away. You have ignored the message of your salvation, the message, the hope that I was bringing you. I'm going somewhere else. This also reminds us that we're to keep going, proclaiming the message. Some people are not going to hear, not going to want to hear. Don't be it in that way that they don't hear because we don't go. Tell them the message. If they won't listen, there are other people that will listen. And Jesus says, I will be with you. I'll take care of all your needs. You're going to have everything you need. You're not taking anything extra. Now, later on, when Jesus sends them out, in Luke 22, verse 36, and you remember last time I sent you out? Don't take anything with you. Now, go get that extra shirt. Go get that extra clothes. If you don't have a walking stick, go buy one. Jesus is telling the disciples, you can depend on me. I'll provide everything you need. And Jesus will provide everything we need for the mission he has given us. We need to remember, the harvest is ripe. Pray that the Lord of harvest will send out workers into his harvest field. We are those workers that need to go out and hear. Go out and tell those. When we need to hear the message go out, then we need to go tell to others. There are only two places where you'll spend eternity, where everybody on the earth will spend eternity: heaven or hell. We all deserve hell. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. He died so we can have heaven. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is a gift of God, and we're to go and tell that message because there's a judgment day coming. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, just as is destined for man to die once, and after that to face judgment. We will all face judgment day. We need to tell people how to get ready. Now, if you go to college, judgment day is that final exam. If you're in public school and in high school especially, they have an end of course exam. So you need to pass that to graduate. Or if you're in college and you don't pass that final exam, you might have to take that course again. Well, we don't have the opportunity to live a life again and face judgment again. Our final exam is when we die, we face God. Why should I let you into my heaven? The only reason is because your blood has covered my sin. We're not worthy. We are not worthy to get into heaven. But Jesus is. And he shares his righteous blood with us so we can enter heaven because of what he's done. Everybody needs to hear that. If you're not sure, look around at the world today. Pick up a newspaper. And you can do it on your phone now. Watch the newspaper on your phone. Some of my illustrations are a little dated. But look at the news. The world is not honoring God. The world is trying to pretend like God doesn't exist. He does exist. And he is the one we're going to stand before. And then what do? We listen to the truth and we share it with others. But we can't do it alone. God has called us to encourage one another because the battle is difficult. And that's what we're going to see in the next passage that we continue on Wednesday. There's going to be difficulty. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There's going to be trouble if you try to take a stand for what's right. Lana mentioned about the life chain. In the life chain, we stand alongside the road and hold up a sign supporting life. A lot of people will come by and give us the one finger wave because they don't approve of someone taking a stand to support unborn life. You will get the same thing when you take a stand saying, Jesus says, this is right, and Jesus says that is wrong. God is the one that makes the rules. Yes, there is black and white, and God's the one that determines what's right and what's wrong. But remember, we are all sinners. No one is righteous. We just need to share with others how they can be ready to meet God. I can only imagine the song Mercy Me sang, we sang with him. We don't know for sure everything in heaven. But let's make sure we're there to find out. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time we could be here. I thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that we will go out into your harvest field sharing the message of good news, knowing that you have given us the resources to do everything you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, as you pray in our situation.